The XAML developer's secret weapon are behaviors and actions. It's a declarative way to add functionality to your application without a bunch of code behind, without a bunch of implicit code. It is awesome, and that is what we're talking about in this episode of Microsoft Dev Radio. Welcome to the next episode of Microsoft Dev Radio. I'm Jerry Nixon, and I am psyched to talk to you about XAML behaviors today. I have two awesome guests with me today. It's both Harry and John, Harry Minnan and John Shu. Guys, before we start talking about behaviors and everything like that, I want to just remind everybody who you are. Harry, you've been on the show before. We were talking about WPF and the future of WPF and where it was headed. I don't mind saying and letting you know, it is still the number one dev radio show of all time. I mean, all time. Like, it's crazy. 5 million viewers or something like that. It's not that big, but it's a lot. It's a lot. People love it. And I think it's mostly because you were on, Harry. I mean, you just
I know.
Crazy. People love just staring at you. I think it's what it is.
I know. Yeah.
They're mesmerized by your cadence. It's really
interesting. Now you're scaring me.
There's one or two people in the world that don't know who you are, though. But so before we get started, tell us who you are.
So my name is Harikrishna Menon. I'm a senior program manager in the Visual Studio team for XAML experiences. So our team owns anything to do with Windows native tooling, from WPF to UWP to Windows 8.1. Our team handles end-to-end scenario. So really, it's a pretty awesome team, and we love to bring new experiences to you, and that's why we're here.
Got it. So you're a XAML guy, no doubt about it. It's been XAML for you all the way back since you started at Microsoft, and so it's great to have you on the show. Okay, John, I have never had you on the show, but I'm excited to know that this is probably going to be my new first place now that you're on the show with me, but for those who are introduced to you for the first time, tell us who you are.
So I'm a program manager on the XAML tooling team under Visual Studio and .NET as well. So definitely bringing lots of XAML experiences to developers and building these cool tools for people to build their apps. So definitely excited to do that. I was actually an intern on this team a couple years ago, and just coming back to this, I'm a new PM as well. So starting out with that.
Got it. You are the new mother hen of XAML behaviors. Do I have it kind of right? That's your official title, I think. Got it. All right. So what we're going to be talking about. So a couple of things were announced back. Were they announced during Connect or just like around Connect?
So actually, this was announced with the release of Update 1 in their blog post. This is when we went live with all the announcements regarding behaviors, shipping as a NuGet package, and going open source. So around the 30th.
Yeah. So before the 30th, if you're writing a UWP application, you go in and you add an extension to your application of the Behaviors SDK, right? It was the Behaviors SDK extension SDK. And you would always get a warning, right? This is the number one question on Stack Overflow of how do you make it so you don't get the warning. And all these things were happening, but little did we know. Behind the scenes, you guys were doing all of this work to not have an extension SDK, but you were going to announce, like on the 30th, I guess, that you were going to take all of this and move it up into NuGet. Not only that, you announced it was all open source. So this is kind of where we're headed, what we're talking about. But there's bound to be a handful of people on the show here that are watching, and they're like, well, the XAML Behaviors SDK sounds interesting, never heard of it. Give us kind of the rundown, John, of what XAML behaviors are meant to do.
So XAML behaviors are this simple way of authoring some and adding some interactivity into your WinRT apps. So you, using Blend or using your code editor in Visual Studio, you can type up these behaviors and they do certain things that make it really easy without any code behind. So if you want to navigate to a page or play a sound, all you need to do is use a behavior rather than having to do a lot of imperative code with that.
Yeah. All right. So imperative code, that is meaning code behind, right? That's where you're headed with that.
Yeah.
Versus declarative code. So I type it in as XML inside my XAML, right? That's the idea. Mm-hmm. And the upside is, now this is all still C#, or it's all still Visual Basic, or it's all still C++, depending on what you're writing. But it's encapsulated, and I can declare it in my XAML. That's the beauty of it. And I can do the whole thing in a design time experience. So I get the behaviors actually execute in the designer, don't they?
Actually, no. We prevent that completely. The biggest reason being it's unpredictable, right? Let's say you have a behavior that starts off an animation, so you're designing in Vue, and suddenly an animation starts playing in the background. That is super weird. So we made an explicit decision back in the day when we first did behaviors, like what, 5-6 years ago, that we would turn off behaviors in the designer. But you can select it, you can set properties, you can do whatever you want. We just don't let behavior code run in the designer.
And that's important because it adds to the dependability of the designer, right? The design time experience doesn't crash on it because of our
exactly. We don't want random piece of code to just run.
Now, if I were trying to choose between a writing code behind code to actually execute, let's say what I want to do is switch a state, right, on a button click. Mm-hmm. And I was choosing between, how does a developer choose, right? They're going to say, okay, should I just write the click handler in code behind that says change visual state? Or should I use the change visual state action with a click behavior on a button, right? Everything's declared that way, no code behind. How does a developer choose between those two?
Well, I guess like that's the beauty of behaviors. Like you have the ability to do both. So with behaviors, we ship the change visual state action in the package, and that allows the developer to change the state of their button on click. But you have that choice of using code behind as well. Say you want to do some more custom stuff as well, saying like you want to do a certain type of transition as well. So it's up to the developer in that case.
Yeah. And I think it's worth saying developers who use behaviors quickly fall in love with them, right? There's something about encapsulating code, reusing code, and being able to do everything inside a designer that makes sure all of your properties are set properly and things like that as well. There's just something about behaviors. What is it? Why do developers love it so much? I mean, like they go crazy. So many developers don't know all the power of the designer in the first place. And of those, there's even fewer that know the power of behaviors, partly because behaviors are they're a blend experience, really, more than they are a Visual Studio design experience. Mm-hmm. Why do developers love it so much?
I think we had a hardcore community of blend users back in the day, and we still do. And I think this was an amazing way for them to add a lot of, and even for designers and, let's say, integration developers, to add a lot of these functionality without having to go back to the big engineering team to get certain things done. So mm-hmm. I think it really tightened up the design interaction loop, and that's why people love it. And we really wanted to bring that a little more mainstream, and that's why we tried open sourcing it. So we want to make sure that, hey, this is going to be open source. There's a lot more eyes on it. The community can now go and contribute as whatever they want. It's going to be well-maintained by the community as well as us. We're going to have short release cycles, and that way we wanted to make sure that this gets out there.
Okay, so all right, what are behaviors? They're this awesome way of dragging and dropping functionality onto your application. All right, now let's get to the announcement. We decided that it's no longer going to be an extension SDK. Now it's going to be a NuGet package that you add to your application. Talk to us first just about that benefit. Why is that better?
So one of the biggest reasons why we wanted to ship it as a NuGet package is that you get a little bit more of an immediate response and more updates to all the new behaviors that are coming. Since this is open source, there's going to be contributors adding to the code base, adding new behaviors and such to it. And shipping as a NuGet package allows us to have a much higher frequency of adding these updates as opposed to shipping them with an update to Visual Studio. So what we could do is we could push something to the code base, and within the hour, you could download the latest NuGet package with all these great latest and greatest behaviors with it.
So an update to Visual Studio could take 3 months, where an update to a NuGet package could take 3 minutes, really. And then all of a sudden, everybody's getting the bug fix that you put in there.
I could give you an account of evidence, actually. We released the behaviors. A bunch of customers couldn't get behaviors to show up in asset panel. They send an email in the morning. We debugged in the hour. We figured out one of the assemblies was not signed correctly. We pushed out an update, was fixed in 2 hours.
Nice.
So that was a really good loop for us. It was a good test for us as well, right? Hey, we actually got a fix out there ASAP. It just fixed behaviors in the product without us having to release a new patch to Visual Studio.
So that was the main reason we have 1.0.3 now? Is that
exactly. We released 1.0.2, and we just released 1.0.3 just to fix the signing issue.
Got it. Perfect. All right, so now not only is it moved over to NuGet, but the code base is now moved into GitHub as well to make it open source. And the reason that you move it into open source is because, and allow me to fill in the blank here, Microsoft is no longer going to contribute to this SDK. I'm leading the question here.
really, no. We would like to contribute. We would like to keep what we call a benevolent eye on it, because we believe we want to make sure we guide it somewhat through before there is enough maturity that the community takes over and drives it themselves, right?
Okay.
I'll tell you a couple of reasons why, simple reasons. Behaviors is inherently tied into tooling in Visual Studio, right? So we want to make sure that if there are new concepts or new things that folks are going to add to behaviors, we have that support in Visual Studio. We want to make sure that co-evolution goes along until the product or the SDK or NuGet package is mature enough that, hey, you know what? We're done, kind of thing. But because we do the signing, we have to actually release a NuGet package internally from Microsoft. We actually code sign it and we publish the package. But we do have an amazing team of MVPs who are contributing, looking at PRs, merging them, doing code reviews, helping out with the whole community angle of things.
Okay, so we have almost a board of MVPs that are acting kind of like custodians of this SDK to make sure that it is awesome and doing a lot of the underlying work because they love it so much. But at the end, the owner still is Microsoft, and so quality is still going through us, right? And as well as signatures and everything else that comes through it. So if you look at the whole structure of everything, Microsoft certainly hasn't stepped away, right? Mm-hmm. We're just bringing in more people to be part of this SDK team.
Absolutely, that's what we want. That's the way we want to see it.
Yeah, well, that's the way I see it too. So it's brilliant, right? I'm on board. I'm totally on board. All right, John, what do you think? It's going to be open source. What are going to be some of the benefits that we see from making it open source? People are going to look at our code, right? That's one. But what else?
So I think one of the good things about this is that it exposes behaviors to the public, and a lot of people can get their eyes on the GitHub repo and they can see the code and hopefully generate some more interest and more people wanting to use behaviors. As you said, a lot of people, when they start using behaviors, they fall in love with it, and definitely wanting to bring that to more people is the hope for open sourcing as well. As when we open source this, we allow more feedback to come in. And like we said before, we're very rapid about integrating that feedback and taking in pull requests. So what people want to see and where the direction behavior should go, definitely we're listening and trying to lead it in that direction as well. So it creates something that all developers really want in their product.
Do you foresee the SDK getting bigger and bigger and bigger as more and more contributions from the community come in and people have these bright ideas of these clever behaviors?
Yeah, definitely. So talking with people who have already started using behaviors as well as MVPs, there's a lot of interest and a lot of people have all these different kinds of ideas for what kind of behaviors they want to do. There's some things for animations, some things for all kinds of other things such as like popping a dialogue or something like that. And having all those different options definitely means it's going to grow a lot and there's going to be all these different avenues for behaviors to pursue and it's going to be hopefully become bigger.
Nice. And so right now, there are, maybe about 6 actions and 3 behaviors, something like that. And let's forecast 24 months from now, you know, we've all gone gangbusters on this thing. What do you anticipate the SDK having then? Hundreds?
So I guess that's one thing that we definitely would need to see coming towards the future. I think that's something that we've been discussing a lot, depending on how many people adopt behaviors and what comes into the repo. And definitely one thing that we're interested in pursuing like in the future would be splitting off and creating these separate toolkits for all these different workflows. Say that you want to have a bunch of behaviors for animations and being able to do certain things with your app. So definitely having a separate NuGet package for that is something that would be really useful for people who just want to target that kind of scenario.
So it might be something like behaviors simple and behaviors advanced, 2 different NuGet packages, one that has a whole bunch of stuff and some just to get started.
So there'd definitely be a core package that holds all the behaviors that we have right now and those very common scenarios, and then like maybe an advanced toolkit or something for all these extra behaviors.
Yeah. Do you see or or 4C, I guess, the any changes in the iAction or iBehavior interfaces coming?
Any changes in iAction or iBehavior? Not at the moment. One thing that we, when open sourcing, when some of the feedback that we got was wanting to do some WPF-like behavior with this and adding generics to it. And definitely that's something that we were looking at and trying to add to that to see what that could lead to in the future.
Well, that's a good transition, actually. So right now we're really talking about the behavior SDK for UWP apps, right? For Windows 10 forward, actually. And so what's the plan? Are we going to do something similar to this with WPF or WinRT or Windows 8?
So definitely it depends on the community. I think that it's part of the reason of open sourcing is just to generate that interest and seeing where people want to take behaviors. And definitely given how the people respond to it, it's definitely something that we'd want to be able to look into in the future and seeing if it's something that we should do with spinning off something for WPF and doing cross-platform XAML behaviors and such.
Got it. So I'm going to summarize your answer to maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, got it.
I think there are some challenges with WPF, right? Like unless we start introducing behavior of T, the inheritance path for how WPF behaviors are built are very different from how we do UWP. So I think someone from the community really wants to build this for WPF or Xamarin Forms, let's say, would be completely psyched about it.
Yeah. Now I want to pause just for a second. It's a possibility that there's a developer watching that is getting pretty intrigued by this. There's got to be something good about behaviors if you guys are talking about it this much. And I think it's worth pointing out that both of you guys are on the XAML team, and both of you guys, your manager is Uni. Uni and I actually have an all-day course just around Blend that includes several of those modules around behavior. So if a developer's dying to get their hands on this and wants to figure it out without just kind of clicking at it on their own, then go to MicrosoftVirtualAcademy.com and search for the Blend class. And it's an all-day class. Can you imagine an all-day class just around Blend? It's like a dream come true. Absolutely a dream come true. Okay, so let's talk about Blend for a moment, right? So right now, if you want to use behaviors, it's Blend and Blend only. You go to the Assets tab, you go to the Blend sub-tab. Oh, no. You go to the Behaviors sub-tab, and there are all your actions and behaviors. Mm-hmm. Is that going to change?
So yeah, so shipping with update 1, we changed around what happens in the assets pane now. So instead of having that flat list of all the behaviors and actions that are available to you, such as when back in 8.1, what we're doing now is there's a prompt for you to install the NuGet package, and there's a link that says install XAML behaviors and such. And you click on that link, and what it does is it gets the latest package, the NuGet package of behaviors, so you have all the latest and greatest and all the new behaviors that you'd want to use in your apps, so depending on what we've published to the repo and also published to NuGet. So that's changed around, and it also adds reference to that NuGet package.
Okay, so tell me the process again. So once I make the reference to the NuGet package, I go in and it's transparent to me. Everything just works correctly.
Yeah. So definitely, that's all in place and it works just from the get-go when you add the reference to the NuGet package.
Okay. If I wanted to make changes to the experience inside Blend, is that part of the open source project?
So when you say adding, changing the experience, like such as like adding different value editors and such, or?
Well, let's go one step at a time. What about a value editor? Yeah. What if I wanted a value editor to pick a color, or there already is one, but to pick a, I don't know, to pick something, right? That isn't there yet. Is that going to be part of Blend that's going to be owned ultimately by Microsoft, or is that going to be part of the SDK that's going to be contributed by the community?
I'll take this one. So, yeah. Blend has a whole bunch of value editors, and what we have something called Microsoft Windows with extensibility. So there's a set of extensibility APIs that you can use now to actually create custom experiences for your controls and behaviors and whatnot. Okay. The one thing that we did, however, when we open source behaviors has a whole bunch of very specific value editors. For example, the target picker, the target object picker, all those are pretty unique to behaviors. So what we did, we released a new version of the extensibility DLL that has references to these new value editors. So a third party behavior who wants to, or a third party action, or somebody wants to write a new behavior action, but want to see that behavior action use a new you know, the blend value editors, they can easily do that going forward.
I see. And they would do it with a combination of an extension and a contribution to the SDK.
No, actually, they can do with just a contribution to the SDK. What they would do is they would write the new behavior, and if the repo accepts it, it goes in. We also publish a design DLL in the NuGet package along with the new, along with other components of behaviors. So you just go and update that design assembly as well with your new properties and metadata that you want the behavior to exhibit in Blend.
Okay, so if I come up with a really great idea, then I can go ahead and contribute that up and have the editor as well. Help me draw the line. Where is the line from what I do as an external contributor and what you do as the Microsoft owner of the developer experience?
So one of the roadmap things that we mentioned or principles we wanted the folks to follow when contributing to behaviors is, hey, focus on the platform, that is behaviors, and let's worry more about tooling. Because you know, we have the expertise. We also have all the source that you would need to build great experiences, not really accessible or customizable for third-party devs because it's owned by us, it's inside Blend, right? So we would be much better fit for us to improve new tooling experiences, and we would love the community to focus more of the attention on building new behaviors and actions. And that's why we want to keep an eye, and eye out on the behaviors project, is to make sure that the tooling co-evolves with the rest of the SDK.
I got it. So that makes a lot of sense. So ultimately, the developer experience is still you guys, who you are obviously more intimate with Visual Studio than anybody else ever could be, right? Internally, especially.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When I search on NuGet and I'm about to install this SDK, I see it and I see UWP. Microsoft. I forget what it is, but it's this whole thing, and it ends with UWP, so you know you've got the right one. What is it? Do you remember what the actual title?
microsoft.xamlbehaviors.uwp/managed/native.
Okay, let's talk about managed and native. Why are there two?
So we ship two different NuGet packages depending on the type of project that you're building. So we wanted to support both C# apps as well as C++, so there's both those NuGet packages depending on what kind of project you have. So you choose managed for C# apps and native for C++.
Okay, I got you. And one of the reasons we're separating those out probably has to do a lot with things like reflection that C++ really just doesn't have built into it.
Yes, there are two reasons. First one is obviously reflection, right? That's why the event trigger behavior in C++ has a hard-coded list of events it can subscribe to, because it can't really reflect and find out which event to hook up to in the runtime. The second reason is performance. We wanted folks who are writing C++ applications not to have to, you know, load .NET or CLR into their process, instead be able to write interactivity just using C++ assemblies with no other additional runtime cost. So that's why we separated on day one, is that we wanted to have a managed version and we wanted to have a native version.
Gotcha. So if you only had the native version, then you would miss out on capabilities that developers have already grown to love. And if you only had a managed version, then C++ developers would feel they're compromising by using .NET inside their application when they weren't before.
Exactly. Yes. Okay. So we wanted to have the best of both worlds. So we did this way.
Okay. That makes sense to me. Now that there are two, are they mirror images of each other? And what do you think will happen as we move forward?
So they're not actually mirrored images of each other. So like Hari said, there's some changes with between the two packages due to like reflection and having to use .NET. So some of the native behaviors, some of the managed behaviors don't exist within the native behaviors package, so because of those kinds of constraints. But going forward, it's definitely depending on the types of behaviors that are coming in. If a behavior comes in without any use of reflection, it's definitely something that we'd like to see with in the C++ package for native as well. It's something that we added in our roadmap, where our philosophy is making sure that no language gets left behind, so making sure that C++ still has support and co-evolves with this project.
I gotcha, because that's going to make me pretty mad when I'm talking to C++ developers who are bragging about features that I don't have in the managed package, right? I'm glad that there's a goal of it being, I guess it's like this, right? The goal is we keep them in sync, and the subtext is as much as possible, right? And because
exactly.
It may not be possible to make them in parity in some cases.
Yes.
And it may be a matter of time. You may actually release the managed update, and then, you know, a certain period of time passes before somebody contributes enough to get the C++. Or is that not the way it's going to be? Are you going to wait until they are in sync?
So definitely it's going to be out of sync with each other. That's when mentioned before, that whole issue that we had without being able to see behaviors in the access pane, that was seen within managed. So we shipped an update to the managed package while the native package was still working. So there's going to be that difference in version numbers and what's in these, but they're both evolving at a different rate.
So we're live. We are 100% on GitHub. You can accept contributions, pull requests. Are we getting pull requests?
Yeah, so we're getting, within the first couple of days of this going live, we've been getting a lot of pull requests and people raising issues and about certain things with behaviors and things they'd like to see, and people adding their own behaviors, couple behaviors that are already in there. We've taken a couple of pull requests already, and it's definitely great to see that interest in behaviors going forward.
Wow. Also, most of the MVPs in our board actually had access much earlier on. We gave them write permissions to the repo, 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago before the release? Yeah. Almost a month ago. Mm-hmm. So they've been contributing for quite some time, making bug fixes, changes, etc. So that's been super helpful.
Anything new in the NuGet package that wasn't in the extension that developers would see today?
The one thing I want to call out is that when folks were referencing a .NET extension SDK in UWP, they used to run into a problem when they release build, change property. If you had change property action, it would invariably crash your application when .NET native compiled. Mm-hmm. The reason was change property action uses reflection, and people had to explicitly add metadata to default.rd to support that scenario. Yeah. But what we have done is we have changed the property of change property action from string to property path, so that now everything should just work without you having to do anything. So change property action should just work fine in release and .NET native. So that is
okay,
a small API change.
And I would imagine property path is inferred when I'm declaring it. This is only really a code behind issue then, or a code behind change.
Yes, if you're writing code behind, then you have to change. But in XAML, you will see no change.
Yeah.
So it's almost like that is an API change, but hopefully nobody's ever going to actually realize it. But it fixes the .NET native problem.
Perfect. Yeah. Well, nice. Well, there's the first, right? The first of many nice little twists. That'll be nice. All right, so let's remind ourselves what we're doing here. All right, we have the XAML behaviors extension SDK that has been moved to NuGet. So now we can reference it and we can get updates quickly, as well as the code base has been moved to GitHub, where it's now open source. And so I can go and I can review all that code and learn for myself, contribute back to it as well. And we have included now a whole slew of MVPs who love behaviors as much as we do, who help govern all of the pull requests that are coming in, and kind of the future in the life of where behaviors are headed as well. Meanwhile, behaviors are still a design time core experience inside our tooling, and Microsoft still owns that. We still take care of that, make sure that the experience is awesome, and ultimately even sign the NuGet package as it gets updated, right? Did I kind of summarize where we are?
Definitely. That's where we are right now, yeah.
Yes.
And what did I miss? Did I miss anything?
No, I think you pretty much covered everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. It's the handshake, kind of a handoff from you, Harry, I guess, to John. And so he's the new owner. And so that's terrific. And John, we can reach you. You're a Twitter guy, probably, and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tweet at me at John W. Chu, JONWCHU. And also my Microsoft email as well, JONCHU@Microsoft.com.
Cool. And if I have ideas, and I don't really feel comfortable contributing to the whole thing, but I do have some ideas. Do I go to User Voice now, or do I go to the issues section on GitHub?
Definitely start raising issues on GitHub. So we're always looking at the repo and seeing what people are saying there. And definitely if someone who has an idea raises one, it's probably the best place for more people to see and seeing like, oh, I definitely want to build that. And we can add that to the package.
Cool. All right, guys, this has been great. All right, so I couldn't be more excited because there's no easier way now to include behaviors than just adding it to my project JSON file, right? It's just so easy and simple compared to going through the extension. You would think that'd be nice and easy as well, but it's just not as simple as using NuGet 3 the way it works, especially in a UWP application, so it's just nice and beautiful. All right, guys, Perfect. If you're a developer watching the show and you want to learn more about behaviors and you wonder what we're talking about, don't forget you can go to Microsoft Virtual Academy. There's a whole course on Blend that includes a whole section on behaviors, and you can learn all about this, and it's totally awesome. If you're the kind of guy who likes to reverse engineer stuff, everything now is open source. You can go get the code and learn it yourself that way as well. Either way, behaviors are one of those things that we have to warn you, as soon as you start to use them, you're going to love them, and you won't be able to say no to them. It's just a great way of encapsulating code, especially on a big team where you trust a couple of guys who are great developers. They can write all behaviors, and all your other junior developers can start using those and reusing the code, and you can trust the way it's implemented. Cool. Harry, John, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having us on the show.